It's just a couple of days right before Christmas Eve in Germany. It is rainy, it is gray, and it might be possible that I'm not driving, but I'm in a car and I'm also not alone. But before we start to explain the why and the how to Freizeitpark abroad. So welcome to a new episode. My name is Stefan Burian. I'm a self-employed freelancing operations consultant. My main focus is operations, HR and guest experience for leisure attractions of any size and kind. And this episode will be a small review of the past year. 2024 is almost over. And it's, of course, time to talk about the things that happened, memories to remember, experiences to maybe focus on, just a small recap of what this year happened, also with the podcast, and what will happen in the next year. And as I mentioned already, I am not alone. Somebody is driving, luckily, right now. It would be weird if I would moderate this episode and would drive as well. It's my good old friend, Liam Kreutzmann. Hi, Liam.
Hello, Stefan. Nice to be here. Nice to be your driver and nice to be in your podcast as well.
Yes, and thanks for driving us safely home. Liam, it's such a pleasure to finally have somebody to talk with, because the past two episodes I've done have been completely on my own, and we are both not native English speakers.
That's why I'm sorry for all the mispronunciations, but here we go. So I think we are understandable. So, and I hope your audience will likely to follow us through the night.
Through the night. What is it, like a nighttime radio show now?
Kind of, actually, yes. It's a talking format and we are driving in the night. So it's like all these 90s... TV episodes where you have like a talking host and he's driving his guest through the night. This time is like different. Host is sitting right next to me.
I was expecting more like a night jazz radio show, like ladies and gentlemen.
We can also do carpool karaoke.
No. We won't do that. We won't hurt our audience in any ways. So please let us skip that part. But let's focus on the year, because what I'm really grateful for is that we both did a lot of things together this year. Lots of things have happened in this industry. Lots of things have happened with How to Freizeitpark. As you can see, no, not see, but here we are here in a different language. And this is the second channel now. How to Freizeitpark abroad is... how to say it, like a spin-off from How to Freizeitpark, the German podcast, which talks about Freizeitparks, theme parks, attractions of any kinds and size. Yeah, going back to my intro.
Everything in the industry of amusement.
Yes, but Liam, before we head into all the chit-chat, let's talk about a little bit about you, because maybe people don't know who you are. So please tell us, what are you doing and what are you known for?
I'm not known for being a driver in the night. So I'm also work in the industry. I'm a marketing professional and I work for industry companies like parks, attractions, as well as like the suppliers of them. And I do like the consultancy of marketing things, and I'm specialized in organic marketing things. So PR, content marketing, social media are my fields where I work to, where I'm specialized to. Not so really in the ad buying things or ad trading stuff. So it's more content producement and everything with organic marketing and communications.
Wow, what a coincidence. We are producing content already.
Yes.
Closing the circle. And so coming back to the situation, how we have met. And we both have one thing in common. And that is we both suffer from hay fever.
That's true.
And then
when we did our first episode, like we suffered from hay fever and we're sitting in like a park.
Under a tree, everything was blooming around us. There were spores in the air, and so that was not us. That was the wipers,
from the windshield.
Yes. So we are, as we mentioned, it's driving, and we are driving, and it's raining outside, as the winter is in Germany. It's wet, not cold, but it's usually wet. And yeah, that we recorded an episode for How to Freizeit Park for the German channel in a park in our hometown. And since then, our paths have crossed in so many different ways. And so we decided at some point, maybe we can work together because we both think, and I do really believe that, is marketing and operations need to work close together.
Definitely. There are so many attractions. Yeah. I have often make like the experience that marketing and operations work not with each other, but against each other.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no reason to do that. And I don't know why this always happens. So maybe like operations, they are dealing with the daily struggle and the marketing people are like sitting in the office planning the strategy, planning like things. And often in my experience, this leads to some difficulties. And that's actually not good. Definitely not helpful. And that's why we want break these unspoken rule a bit and change a bit.
And what I do think where this whole situation comes from is I do believe the difference in expectations, because on marketing you usually plan on a long-term stuff like your campaigns, your activities on different markets and channels, and operations is usually trying to fight fire with fire on some point and get the thing somehow running. And when somebody comes around and says, oh, well, did you think about the email I've sent you last week? I would say in my position, no, I have things to do. You see, there are people everywhere. That's my job right now. But I think that's another thing for another episode, which might be coming out next year. And but let's talk about this year, Liam. What is your biggest taking from 2024?
Oh, it's a huge question, to be honest. Not easy to answer like that spontaneously. What's the big takeaway? I think this year for a lot of attractions was a little harder than 2023. I have experienced that a lot of attractions faced the challenges economically wise. Especially here in Germany, so in other countries it might be different. But in Germany, a lot of parks, they have like less visitors and a lot of B2B bookings decreased. One of the reasons can be like the summertime was a bit rainy here in Germany. And the wintertime comes with some price increases, inflation. And that's why I have the feeling people are less likely to go to attractions and spend their money there. And that's why, I think a lot of attractions haven't been disappointed, but it was, not like 2023 where everything was going up after COVID.
Yeah.
Everybody was hyped to visit some attractions. Everybody was hyped to go on holiday. And this year, it stagnated or it decreased in some ways.
It did. The weather you've mentioned is, I think, one of the most crucial parts we really can't influence in a direct way. We can work around and work on our offerings, like having more indoor attractions or weather-independent attractions that can work all year round. But I totally agree with you that this year was very difficult. There were less new openings this year. There were most of the smaller family-owned attractions, like, for example, Freizeitpark Traumland auf der Bärenhöhle, which is a very small theme park in the south of Germany, opened a new roller coaster this year. But they are but they're also struggling with, you already mentioned it, the weather, the visitor decrease, and of course still one of the major problems is we're not getting stuff. Stuff is missing, especially on more landly areas.
Rural areas, where you have like not the big city next to the attractions.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you often don't have public transport going to the attractions. So staff needs to have a car or sleep next to the venue. It's often not really possible. So it's hard to find people who are ready to fit this.
Yeah. And also to be as an employer, to be fair, to give a fair loan. Minimum wage is still getting higher every year in Germany, which is great. It's such a great tool we have. But on the other hand, it's also, of course, still difficult to get your staff, especially seasonal staff. If you're lucky, you have enough staff for 1 year, but for the next season, maybe other industries, for example, in Germany, the supermarkets are very aggressive about minimum wage. They have high minimum wage, their own minimum wage levels. So most of the people that have worked for hospitality before go to those industries and stores because they earn more, which is just fair. But
also they are nearby, right?
You exactly.
Just walk 5 minutes and then you're in your workplace. When you work for a park.
Yeah.
Drive like 30 minutes sometimes or even longer. I mean, you have the experiences from your past to drive like 1 hour or more to get to your workplace. It's not easy to work there. You have to really be excited to work in the amusement industry. To be ready to manage this constitution.
But we're already in our negative things. But are there any positive things that have happened this year? What's your personal highlight of this year's season?
There are two ways to answer this question. First, like very personal things to experience, and secondly, my experience as an industry as a marketing professional. And to answer like both ways, I would start first. I see a growing professionalism in the industry when it comes to communication and branding. Good for me, but also good for the companies who are facing more competition, I would say. So you see, for the roller coaster market, there are more competitors, for other amusement industries as well, or suppliers. And that's why everybody works on their brand and works on their communication. That's good, and it's nice to have this professionalism. To be honest, the amusement industry, when it comes to the B2B suppliers, often lacks some kind of professionalism, some kind of branding.
There are
industries that are way far behind us, doing way more better.
But where does this lack of professionalism comes from?
It was necessary, I guess. So in the last years, it was quite clear who offers what and to which conditions. I think this is changing. So some companies widen their product portfolio and also their professionalism in delivering. So it was necessary the last years. And this year's, everybody, have to see how to react to that. But also, like what you mentioned before, the shortage of staff, so the problem that you can't find employees is also like on the supplier side. They have to do something they didn't do before, and this is called employer branding. So the parks may know this problem, and they often like work on that already, but the suppliers not really. And they started to work on that, become better communicators on LinkedIn, on social media and stuff, and start to brand themselves as employer.
Yeah, but it's really late, isn't it? I mean,
it's maybe too late.
but that's what I find totally interesting. It does seem, and not only in that way, even if we look a little bit more from another side, like from a political point of view, that we are a little bit lazy. We've been lazy the past couple of years, especially when it comes to innovations, digitization, employer branding.
You mean in Germany or
in Germany? I just focus now, especially on Germany, because what I realized is that with COVID came the big digitization boom because we had to. You know, every park now has online tickets, online shops, even paying by card is not very typical for Germany. Now it's like almost everywhere.
Oh,
even
sadly,
at my
it isn't. There are some parks that are going back, really.
Yeah, I saw that, like, because they're complaining about prices, and I don't believe that, because if you look at how expensive it is to maintain your own cash routines when you have cash on site, even the whole time you spend in all that management, that costs money. And people usually don't realize that or take this in account.
Yeah.
So they say, it's too expensive. We go back to cash. That is such a weird flex.
It is.
But are there any surprises for you in this year? Is there anything where you realized something, one thing you maybe have experienced that have blown away your whole view of the world?
Not really, to be honest. I think this year was a year of development.
Yeah.
In some ways, after COVID. So COVID, everything changed around, disrupted everything. And this year was a year to strengthen the structures of these. So there wasn't really surprises for me, to be honest. Of course, there were some surprisingly good experiences, I would say, both together as well.
Yeah.
But it's not like in the marketing field or something. So it was like from personal perspective, experience. When it comes to that, of course, immersive entertainment is rising again. kind of become a empty buzzword.
Immersive is the new is kind of the Dubai chocolate from the past year.
Kind of, but like there's a difference, because when you come to, when you think of Dubai chocolate, you have something special in mind. So there's the pistachio in it, and there's chocolate in it, and some other good ingredients. But when it comes to immersive, there are no strict ingredients. So everything can be immersive, and nothing can be immersive. So it's quite an empty buzzword.
It is.
And nevertheless, we found some interesting immersive experiences.
Oh, yeah.
We both together visited the Dolores, for example, in Utrecht.
Yeah, the second installation they have in Utrecht, which is such a huge recommendation. If you are ever going to the Netherlands, they have so many really pretty attractions, so many weird attractions as well. We just visited Koningin Juliana Toren in Apeldoorn a few weeks ago, which was like a really, really weird experience from their choice of attractions and choice of design.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very old park, right? Where old amusement parks often are the strangest,
but yeah,
at
we
the
did.
Same time, the nicest.
Yeah, but then we did Dolores in Utrecht, which is like an immersive interactive playground where you have to climb, crawl, and just experience the whole your surroundings, your environment, to not to escape, but just to experience and explore. And then we did some smaller things like a holy moly trip in Breda.
I remember this was actually one of the most surprising experiences I've ever had, because we both didn't have any expectation what to
none.
Expect.
Zero to none.
There's no content from inside, no vlogs, no video content.
And which was basically a story told walkthrough with some interactive elements, but it was really nicely told with such a low budget they had for that.
And tiny space.
Yes, it was really, really crammed on some points. And then we did something really big on the opposite. We went to the UK for a small research trip, and we went to, and I really was craving for that, we visited Wake the Tiger in Bristol.
Yes. Concept is really similar to the Meowulf venues. And there are also some similarities, the design.
for Meowulf's perspective, a little bit too similar. Yeah, so now they are suing them, which is kind of odd.
Well, this can happen, right?
Well, we will see how it goes.
You have like intellectual property. You have to force your, but you don't have to fight for it. But yeah, you can lose your proper intellectual property if you don't sue companies sometimes. So sometimes you don't have a choice.
But would you say that it's like a stealing of their IP?
Because no, I wouldn't say that. But,
yeah, but it's similar.
I'm not the one to judge.
Yeah.
For me, it was okay. It was a different approach here and there.
Yeah.
There are some similarities. It's clear. So
you have to be blind not to see the similarities. Yeah. And on some points, they're not even hiding it. But on the other hand, it was still different. But I don't know if that's something saying about Meowwolf that they are going against Wake the Tiger so far.
Yeah, they are
right
not
now.
Even in competition, to be honest. So Meowwolf is so far away. And maybe they are about to come to Europe. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I hope so.
But it's the case, and that's why they are a little bit...
I think the UK market would be the only market next to the Dutch market where they could be successful because they are open enough for such experiences.
Yeah, there are more countries. When it comes to Greece, for instance, they are very good into escape rooms, and I guess they're kind of open for these kind of experiences as well. So a lot of experiences come
But why
Greece? I have no idea.
Why Greece? Greece is the last country I would expect that they would have like great experiences. Not that they are not good in doing things, but Greece is not on my radar for that.
Because we're kind of far, but we'll look to escape rooms. They are really big in the escape room industry, and they have some of the best venues in the world there. Also, some
crazy
big suppliers there.
Yeah, that's true.
And
some good ones, some not so good ones.
Yeah, well,
as
like,
we've
like
seen.
Always. But there are other countries, like Romania. They were very quick in escape rooms as well.
But that's a nice bridge. We talked about immersive experiences. We visited some. Some were good. Some were. I don't really think that we've done any bad really bad experience.
Yeah.
There was like a maze in Amsterdam, which was still great. I think the expectation was set too high from the beginning a little bit. But and then the following rooms and experience was all right. It was not bad. It was okay. We had a great time.
It was not the approach of immersive we would have taken, right?
It's yeah, exactly.
Like special effect show.
Yeah, like lights and sounds and everything was synchronized. It was looking great.
Still a really good attraction.
Yeah,
I would really recommend it still. So
especially the very first room, and that's the hard criticism on that. The very first room is such a great dramatic entrance to that attraction, and then after that, it's get a little bit mixed up with the expectations you are going in. But yeah, that's really criticism from a high point, so it's still a great attraction, and it's always busy there. As we went there, it was like a weekday, I think, and it was
it was a weekend. But,
it was a weekend.
Yes, race was weekend.
Oh, that was a trip we did with the electric car, right?
Yeah, and we were stranded in nowhere.
That was a big learning for me this year. Drive electric cars.
You have to be well prepared, and then it's fine. But we haven't been prepared, so
no.
We stranded in the middle of nowhere without power. So.
Yeah, it was a good learning, and but we also did some experiences which I already knew they would be great, and was still surprised how great they would be, like visiting Poulton's Park for the very first time in the UK. Yeah. Which is such an amazing
really
place
experience.
With so good attractions, such a great theming. Stuff was amazing. The pricing is incredible, and the whole park is just looking amazing.
Pricing is incredible. Was it expensive? I don't remember actually.
I think the entry fee, entrance, the admission was about £50. Something. It was not that cheap, but on the other hand, the pricing inside the park was still all right, and we
the quality was fine of the park. There was just one corner, and I heard they will renew it now. I think the flume ride is closed now, and the bobsled as well.
Yeah, the bobsled called, what was it, Cobra?
Cobra.
Cobra,
Yeah.
a long snake-like animal.
Really a trigger for me. So when you think of a cobra, so obviously you think of a long animal and a long train, and this is like the only type of coaster you could have built with the name Cobra
A
that
bobsled.
doesn't fit like bobsled with little cars.
A four-seated two-row
Yeah,
vehicle,
like
and the
the
thing is
Cobra, right?
called Cobra.
Just call it White Mouse or something, and it's fine.
Yeah,
But
just stick to the old theme. It's a mouse. It's a wild mouse. It's a crazy mouse.
yeah,
It
but they
doesn't matter.
will theme it now, and I'm looking forward to it. I think on Roller Coaster Database it says it's closed for
Oh,
the
it's
next
already
season.
closed. But yeah, and that's our own experiences. But when we think about another great experience we've had, and I think most of you there in this industry, was the big Expo Europe in Amsterdam, which was, as usual, a great experience, a great show.
Always a pleasure,
It's
yes, to
always.
meet friends and colleagues, and of course, for now, always clients.
Yeah, it's always like a school reunion. It's such a great time. But what was your. Because what we did is, and I think I can mention that in a certain way, that we are both working together, because as we already mentioned, that we are strong believers in operations and marketing, and that they can both do great stuff. But we are also looking into concepts, into innovation, into delivering new experiences, and to get into making concepts and master plans for those kind of things. So we had a different approach for the IAPA trade show this year. And how was that working out for us?
Yeah, sometimes you look to booths with a different perspective, right? Usually we go there looking for potential clients or just for our entertainment. So sometimes you visit a booth just because you're interested, right?
Or they have
And
free ice cream.
sometimes that.
Sh shout out to that booth. They were re really nice.
Was
The two
amazing.
Belgian
I
people.
missed like the Coca-Cola booth. Usually they
Yeah,
keep
they
me
weren't there,
like
right?
alive, right? Keep us hydrated, the Coca-Cola booth, but not this year. Yeah, but of course, with a different perspective, you also go there as a buyer, as a potential buyer, and it was nice to have this perspective because, of course, the salesperson are way more interested to talk to you on the one hand, and on the other hand,
Yeah, exactly.
you like start your research. How expensive are things? How would things fit into an attraction or kind of attraction?
And
How much to invest to return your investment in the end? So,
yeah.
really interesting perspective in the
And
end.
what I was interested in is how different things are.
And also quality, right? So you have
Exactly.
sometimes the same product, but the quality varies.
So for example, a big shout out to the guys. I think they're called Pixel Games. Is that
Yes,
right?
Pixel. That's
From Berlin.
the original. Yeah.
They have a great product, a simple product, a simple game which looks nice, is easy to handle, easy to set up. So it's just free advertisement here. We're not paid or anything by that. But there were like five or six different suppliers for the exact same product, and it's incredible how you can overcomplicate one simple product by adding different stuff on it just to have it different, or that your software for operating that system is different, which can make the experience worse. And then what we experienced on different contractors and suppliers for exactly that product, where I was really was like, okay, this is not good. This is crap. It's the same thing, exactly the same, but it's somehow worse.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, quality will make it, right?
Yeah.
Also the price, of course, but you will spot the difference really quick.
Yeah. And I personally don't like the whole approach of buy it cheap, buy it twice. It doesn't mean because you get it cheap that you can just overuse it till it breaks down and then you just rebuy it. That's not really an economic perspective which I do agree on. I do know, we both know many people who think like that, and I have huge respect for that because they are also owning attractions and they are running successful on some point. But I do believe, yeah, quality matters, especially when you look on long-term quality, a product that needs to work and also has some kind of support that when something breaks down or you need to have a change at some point, that they are contactable, reachable, that you can say, hey, I need this and that, can you just fix it? Right? That's what we need. We need great customer service. On the other hand, when we offer great customer service to our customer service, we need as a customer on that point our own great customer service.
Yeah, exactly.
Circle of life.
Exactly.
Is there anything you've noticed on the IAPA show floor? Some views, some trends, something that was
Yeah, I mean,
giving
you
you
see,
some
like the
feelings?
battle attractions. There's not really a category for these kind of attractions yet. But this is like the next escape room, I would say. So competitive experiences. Yeah, there are different interpretations of that. But I think this was definitely a trend. We barely see any VR attractions anymore.
Yeah.
Then I remember back like 5 years ago, VR was everywhere.
Every single booth was VR. And
And
even if
now
they hadn't had VR, they had VR.
they had VR. It's like new AI now. Have an algorithm, call it AI.
Jesus.
No, there's like the competitive experience everywhere. It's going from like tech-infused mini golf to like all these competitive gaming rooms or game show experiences.
Oh yeah, the whole quiz show things.
Yeah, definitely huge trend. And the trend that is growing in Germany as well. So you don't just see the suppliers on the trade show, you also see the attractions in real life. And yeah, just like everywhere, quality matters and there's a huge range of quality in
Oh
this
yeah.
field.
Especially when you the mentioned battle games, I really do appreciate the whole competitive social thing, which I do believe again with the whole immersive things not working for the German market because I don't see this like Patchak or the shuffleboard or how was the dart game called? What's the chain?
I don't know.
They have also like a catchy name, I don't know. I think it's difficult to have that combination between FEC, food, dining experience, and the gaming for Germany because we're not used to that. But I would like to see it in Germany because I do think that there is a market and not all those small things like, okay, you visit the escape room, visit the battle game, then you just bugger off and go home and sit in your pajamas on your couch and watch TV. So yes, still something going on. What's my biggest takeaway is, you said it before, a couple of years ago it has been VR, then cheap dinosaur rubber animatronics. What was it last year?
They
That
will
was
stay forever, I think.
they
There's always a
they
market for dinosaurs.
are here for stay. They're here for good now.
Yeah.
And this year it was.
Unlike the real dinosaurs, right?
Good point. But I think this year the big thing that has been everywhere on every show floor and every second booth was ticketing.
Yeah,
There's
they are like
so
everywhere.
many ticketing
Solution.
suppliers this
Yeah.
year, ticketing shops with your all-in-one solutions. And again, as we mentioned with a gaming shows competition suppliers or with a pixel games, quality matters. And if you are, and that's my big advice, if you are going to the show floor with the intent to get information from the people, you need to be annoying. It doesn't mean that they are like sales cars, sales people, you know, that they're selling used cars and want to sell, make the sale for just the sales sake. No, but you need to really ask the hard questions. about supply, about installation, about costs, about timing, and about service. And that's what we realized when we were talking to different ticketing suppliers. They are very different. And
they are.
Some of them just offer only the software, but not the hardware, or just offer an algorithm, which they call AI, but it can be implemented in other softwares front ends or back ends. Just get your questions right and ask the people the hell out of them.
Yes, and yeah, when it comes to ticketing solutions, we see a lot of companies coming from different industries dealing with different industries. For example, from the event and entertainment, live entertainment industry, dealing with different industry, and sometimes they are already adopted the needs of the amusement industry, sometimes not.
Yeah, and that's the big thing.
Yeah, really take an eye on it. This is the right solution and to the right conditions, right? Because the fees you have to pay for the ticketing solutions are really different. Sometimes, or I think the most cases, like a fee you pay with every sold ticket. But sometimes you just have the basic fee.
Like the monthly fee you
really
just pay.
Can determine your business model.
And oh, yeah.
That's why we need to take a look at it. And if this solution adapts to your needs.
And when it comes to, especially to software, and I do believe that there's still space for improvement when it comes to software we use at our themed attractions or even on our FECs. There's not the perfect solution, but if you use software that is already being applied in different industries, you really need to express your own needs because they don't understand you. You know, if you have like a shift planning or timekeeping system for, I don't know, like a car producing industry, and you come around and say, yeah, we've just, I don't know, have 20, 30 people, but we need to clock them in and pay their loan at the end of the month. It might happen that this software is not right for you because it's maybe too complicated.
Yeah.
And so you need to really have your own needs ready, express your needs, talk about it. And if you see that there's no room for improvement or adaptation, you need to look further. And if you have like a young company, you may be in luck to have somebody on your side, and you can both grow together because they can grow from your experience. Of course, you pay money, and of course, there might be hiccups in the system that you need to adjust and you need to work both on it. But on the other hand, you have your own solution on some kind of your own solution, but you also help young startups to grow within this industry and learn from you, because that's what we also realize is if you want to get knowledge from somebody else, you need to really get it. You need to ask, you need to work, and you really need to be close to them to get that information and also to grow yourself on it.
Exactly. So there are pros and cons for young companies, but every need is different. Every solution that is best is different as well. So,
yeah. Talking about solutions, what is your New Year's resolution?
To be honest, I don't really have New Year's resolutions.
Me neither.
So my resolution is, I become father next January. So my resolution is to handle both, right? Dropping kid. So I think this is the main resolution for next year for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. There's nothing to argue about that. My New Year's resolution is, first of all, to be grateful for what I'm doing here and have you on board now. So this might be a small introduction now with Liam, because what I've decided is that we are doing it together for the next episodes, not the couple of episodes, but we established to have this
on a regular basis, right?
Yeah, especially exactly on a regular basis. So every themed episode or focus deep dive episode will be now with two hosts, because I do believe that is much more dynamic, has more value to it when we do it together. Because when I talk about 30 minutes into the microphone, especially in a language which I'm not native in, it's really difficult. But when we have a conversation, and I realize that right now it's much easier to talk in English.
Yes. Yeah.
So it helps a lot, and I hope it helps for you there out there as well, to make the episodes more entertaining and more digestible.
And also have the two perspectives, right? So
yeah,
we have like the advantage to have somebody from operations and somebody from marketing. So that's why it's always good to have like both perspectives, both experiences combined.
So prepare yourself, brace yourselves, winter is coming. There will be arguments, fights, and discussions in this podcast.
Okay.
I will do clickbait right now to get those follower numbers increased. If you're not following How to Freizeitpark Abroad, feel free to click the button in your beloved podcast podcast player, Spotify, iTunes, I don't care. Please follow and subscribe to don't miss any new episode. And thank you for a great start with this new channel. I'm really grateful that it's worked so well. And I'm also grateful that I had those great guests before. And I'm really looking forward to have this new adventure coming. You have your bigger adventure as becoming a father. I've done that.
Right.
Almost 2 years ago.
Check.
So so there will be a lot of talks about that, I guess, as well. I'm really looking forward to do this journey with you, Liam.
I'm looking forward as well. So a lot of good things to come.
Yes. And I wish you there, dear listeners, a fantastic time. See you soon.
See ya.